Hey everyone, today is October 5th. Hope your week is off to a good start. Today was actually a day off for me, so I'm pretty stoked about that. Got a lot done, went food shopping, did laundry, the usual stuff I should have did on the weekend, but it's definitely okay to put you first and have self-care. So this week's episode, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about A and B. A and B will be focused on, how do you know if someone likes you? How do you know if somebody's trying to play you? How do you know if someone has your best interests at heart? So I know that a lot of my peers and my friends, associates, a lot of us are all in the same group, mid-30s, and things of that nature. So it's like, by now you should know the game. You should know this and that. However, if you're a good person, you probably want to give people the benefit of the doubt and things like that. But I'm at the point in my life where I no longer want to give anybody the benefit of the doubt just because your time is precious and things like that. So let me tell you a little bit why I wanted to kind of pick this topic, or why I did pick the topic. So I was always the person, probably still am, that always has stories. Center of attention at an event, just telling a story. But eventually, as I got older, it became more woe is me. Wow, girl, you always have a story to tell. A lot of them were funny. Some of them weren't. Some of them were like, why did that person do so-and-so to me? So I had to take the time and look at the equation on why these things kept on happening to me. So like extraordinary stories. And I had to work on myself. And in other episodes, I probably will peel back the layers on how I worked on myself and things of that nature. But to get to the nitty gritty, I figured, one, I was doing a poor job of picking who's for me, who's for Shari. Also, not checking people and placing in my boundaries. I always found people always put their boundaries with me, but I never was able to do it with them. So that takes me to the topic, how do you get to know who likes you? A, being the professional route, how do you know people like you? And which is absolutely more difficult than your personal life. I don't care what anybody says. This is my podcast, so I'm going to tell you things from my perspective. So let's start with, how do you know if someone likes you or not? So at work, in a professional setting, I'm not talking about like an urban item, but not even, just say a job. So how do you know if people like you? So the simple stuff is, you get promoted quickly, you get good raises, you just get along with a lot of people, and people seem to respect you, your ideas, your opinions, and things that you want to move forward in the workplace without any, you know, pushback or blowback or any negative items around that. Now, sometimes that happens because you have seniority. Sometimes you're a good-looking man, a really good-looking woman, and people just automatically fall into line with you. And a lot of people may not agree with this, but if you notice, somebody like Rick Fox, when he was on that show, The Game, he always said, "I am Rick Fox. How dare you talk to me like that? I am Rick Fox." And he always did the hand, said Rick space Fox. And everybody just respected him because he was tall, athletic, good looking guy. And I've noticed that in the workforce, like a lot of tall, good looking, athletic men, it kind of repeats the whole athlete jock thing from college, that they're well respected, they're well revered. People just look up to them and just listen to them. Also, beautiful women. So I know a lot of women, this is the day and age where we're talking about equality, diversity, and woman falls into that diversity spiel. But I noticed that a lot of things are easier for them too, meaning that a lot of men want to sleep with them. So that's a catch-22 on its own. A lot of beautiful women that I've noticed that they always had to tell men no, or they can use their cooch to definitely get ahead, which is good for them if that's the route they want to take. Also notice that people are less mean to them. And when you're okay looking, not that attractive, I feel like you do have different challenges. In my opinion, this is what I've seen, and you always got to carry yourself with a certain air that you love yourself, you respect yourself, so people don't play with you. So that's one of the part A's I say from a professional perspective. That's the easy way of how do you know people like you. The other flip side, the B side, how do you know people like you in your personal life? So in your personal life at this age, again, you are in charge of who do you let in your life, who do you let in your circle, and who do you tell your business to, clearly. So this one, I feel like you've had your friends from childhood, college, or the neighborhood, family, friends, as well as your cousins that turned into friends. How do you know if they like you and they rock with you? One way is, are they doing favors for you? Now, I'm not saying you scratch my back, I scratch your back automatically. This is quid pro quo. It's definitely not that. But I've learned that, for example, money's always funny. But if you can loan somebody money and not even think about it, about them paying you back, that's a friend, or a friend loans you money like that. And it depends on the relationship the person already has with money internally. Some people just don't like lending out money, and they always feel weird about it. Like, I know I feel weird about it. Like, somebody's trying to play me when I loan them money. So I'm learning just to say no outright. Two, if you ask them to do something simple, like submit your resume, hook you up with a job, or will they really do it for you? Or are they going to compete with you and not do it for you because they don't want you to get ahead? My whole thing with this is, I've learned this, what's for you is for you, and nobody can take that away from you. Whoever I felt like I was blocking, and I'll be honest, and just my work, walking life and the work that I'm doing on myself, that if I felt like I was trying to block somebody, if I felt like I didn't want to do something with somebody, like, that was my instant karma of negativity, and that person surpassed me or did get the job. So me trying to block or be negative towards it was ridiculous. So never, unless I don't like you, I'm not doing it for you. So obviously you're not my friend. Another way you can tell if somebody likes you, is this goes both ways. If they tell you their personal business. Now, this is a different thing. So like in corporate, a lot of people do share their personal business to build relationships, to network, things like that. So if somebody has cancer, they said, oh, they have cancer, which before I was opposed to, but now I think it's better that you tell that you have an ailment, that you have a sickness, because you may not be able to perform, or your life may be in chaos, so you may need that time away and that job security while you're paying for your treatments or just going through whatever you want to go through. So people may tell you your personal stuff. So, and it's a privilege to hear somebody's business. I don't care what anybody says. If somebody's telling you their business, it's a privilege to hear what they're saying. And they could also be gauging you. Are you telling other people their business? So what I say about corporate, like I at work, I don't really talk about my relationship to my manager or my direct colleagues. If I have a friend in the company, that's totally different. But I definitely don't talk about my relationship at work. And that's something I had to learn, because I'll tell you this. Another way people judge you at work is, what does your spouse, what does your husband, wife do for a living? And they judge you on that, on kind of like, again, what people say, people judge you on based on what you do for a living. Like, if you're a doctor, you automatically get respect. I don't agree with that, in all honesty. I feel like if you're a good person, you treat me right, I'll give you respect, because the old me had no problems cursing any and any everyone out. So that's another thing, too. Like, if they like you, if you're a manager or a colleague even that may be a superior in another team, they may share something personal with you and go to lunch with you and things like that. So I think that's one way that you could tell they like you at work, but you also want to be careful on what you provide for as ammunition or things like that. So obviously I'm from Brooklyn. You probably hear my Brooklyn accent. So we already know you could do almost anything to get money. You could sell t-shirts to get money. You can work at a barbershop, get cash money on hand, don't even need to do XYZ to, you know, be six figures, but you are six figures already. And you could own your family, three family house, and you're a millionaire just like that, because you have that old Brooklyn house. So I've learned not to judge people about what they do, because I just see how life can just go either way. And you may go to college, go to med school, go to be a lawyer, and you still may not like it. And you say, this money ain't worth this BS. That's one way. So another thing in your personal life. So I'm naturally an oversharer to a default, where I have to curtail that, not even a little, a lot, just to make sure my close friends that I deem close. And how did I know they were close? Like, if they're praying with me at 12 a.m. in the morning to get over this hurdle and to be a vessel and to keep me in their church prayers. Like, that was like, I know that my secret is safe. So, and then also, I feel like, are they judging me? Are they judging me on the dude that I'm dating? Are they judging me on how I choose to, like, live my life, like, whether it's family stuff or things like that? if they're judging you, oh, that's stupid, don't do this, oh, that's stupid, do that, what, all the time, like, they don't like you. For example, some shit I really don't give a fuck about. Like, say, for example, when I was younger, and this is so silly and juvenile, I used to call people blocked and hang up. I don't know what I got out of it, but it was like maybe I hated an ex and I wanted, like, revenge, but I couldn't do anything. I didn't have the balls or the guts to be that chick that will break their window, scratch their car. I didn't have it, so I felt like that was the vengeance I was going to do. Call me naive, call me stupid. And I had a so-called friend that was like, oh, stop doing that, that's so stupid. And she kind of told the guy that I was doing that. So I felt like obviously she was a hater, and why would you even mention that it was me that did that? I feel like too, some of your personal stuff. How about this? It's your personal stuff. So I always do feel like this. If somebody at work is digging for your personal stuff about your man, oh girl, what's wrong? What the fuck you need to know what's wrong with me for? We're at work. Do your work. And I feel like now that I'm older, since if somebody wants to know my personal business or stuff and I feel attacked, now that we have a lot more protection as blacks, Latinos, Latinx, and things like that, I would go straight to HR and report them for trying to get in my business because I feel like that's harassment. A few years ago, my 20s, even my early 30s, I wouldn't have felt empowered to do that, but now I do. I also feel like on a friendship tip, when they do that, they're jealous of you. Why I say jealous, why do you need to know every move your friend is making? For what? Why do you need what she's doing to know what they're doing in their personal life and downtime? Some things are left for you. You know what I mean? So say you and your man had an amazing weekend, or your significant other had an amazing weekend, and they went to the Poconos, and it's not like Mount Airy Lounge, that stuff that was like on TV in that little heart-shaped tub, and it's totally upgraded, 5-star suite, and you realize that that person was for you. Like, you had your epiphany that, oh, I'm so in love. We had an epic weekend, and that person wants to know every gritty detail. And I'm like, damn, I just want to save some of that for me and my man because we're growing as a couple and as a family. Because I do think your boyfriend or your girlfriend are family. You're with that person. That person's in your personal space for an extended period of time, and eventually it works out, hopefully, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But at that one point, you could say that person was your family. Another thing I could feel like with people really not liking you, I feel like, is that they're competing with you. Now, I feel like we also, again, I'm kind of referencing this again, like, with the whole Chadwick Boseman who passed away from Black Panther, Omari, he wrote on his Instagram, my competitor, my brother, blah, 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 my friend. And a lot of people gave him a lot of backlash for that because it says, y'all wasn't even on the same level. And I'm just feeling like, whatever, he was big on power. He's been in this game a long time. Like, what does that have to do with you? Anyway, but I just feel like a lot of times, do you really feel like you need to compete with your friends? Like, I feel like my friends that have done well, created businesses, I admire that. I said, damn, I got to get on my shit and I got to focus on me to be the best that I could be. But I wasn't able to be the best that I can be if I didn't get rid of like my personal struggles. Like I wasn't on drugs or addicted to like alcohol or anything like that, but just internal personal struggles that I had to overcome within myself. How was I going to be the best that I can be in anything if I wasn't overcoming any of that? So where was the competition? And I feel like people that want to know your move and every move that you're making, they put stuff in your head. And it's kind of like the woman that created Spanx. She said she didn't tell any of her family or friends that she created Spanx until it was done. Done and dusted. Because she knew people said, will it work? Will it not work? Now look at her now. Like she has this multi-million dollar company. They expanded to garments, clothing, apparel, and things of that nature. And that's kind of how I moved to. I'm not talking about it unless I do it. And I felt like a lot of my friends that I ran into were competing with me. And like I said, I'm naturally an oversharer. And I'm like, they got mad when I did certain business moves for myself. And they was like, oh, you didn't put me on for my city. And I was like, well, this ain't New Jack City. So why should I put you on? I don't need to put you on. You're not my man. I'm not your girl. Vice versa. I'm not your mother. I'm not your brother. I don't need to help you. And also, I feel like, don't get me wrong, so competition doesn't always have to be bad, but I feel like in friendships, a lot of that goes to the wayside. I realize, and maybe this happens to you too, if you're talking about the person in a negative light all the time and you're competing with them, you don't like that person. You, that person lights a fire in you for the good or for the better on where you're at in life and how you should be better. Another thing I'll say too is like, work is very competitive, especially like if you in technology or finance, off the rip is competitive. And the team that I'm on now, I kind of like it because nobody likes me. And I say, I didn't do anything. It was just like a bad rumor from like 2 years ago or whatever. But everybody's older. They have families. They're cordial. They're respectful and things of that nature. But how about this? Nobody cares about my weekend. Nobody knows what I'm doing on the side or anything. It's just talking about work. Hey, how's your weekend? How's your kid? How's this? How's that? Da-da-da-da-da. And I love it. And I feel like that dynamic is gold for me. Yeah, I may not be creating that fulfilling relationship, but that's okay. Because what I'm learning in life, your career is going to be long. From 22 to 62, whenever you decide to retire, your career is going to be long. You're going to have time to make relationships, break relationships, build relationships, reform relationships. And nobody ever tells you that. Relationships are important. They always tell you that part. But they don't realize, they don't tell you the trajectory of up and down of relationships, especially in corporate America or even just a regular job. So I feel like me not being too involved personally with people definitely helped me professionally. I'm seeing, I don't have time to crack jokes with anybody or laugh really hard. And I feel like me being naturally playful and a comedian at heart definitely impacted me. I can see, obviously I'm black, but I see white boys do it. I see them have a good jolly old time. They could go get drinks, get hammered during Christmas, during New Year's, go on the floor, be high on coke. And they still get promoted. They still get a raise. I talk to somebody crazy. And I say, you're yelling in my face and you making me feel stupid and I'll get dinged. So it's, you know, that comes into play, but that's a different topic. But I just go to say that I like the environment I'm in now where I'm not the center of attention and people are respectful. So one of the things that I could feel like I could also take and tie on how do you know if somebody else likes you is respect. Now, what is respect? People say, oh, like people fight for their respect. People scream and yell for their respect. People play these mind games for their respect. I'm not talking about all of that other BS on the psychological warfare that people have within themselves and they try to project it onto you. I'm just saying, like, do people naturally respect you? How do you know that? I think this is definitely difficult, definitely, you know, hard to know. But I feel like if people are kind, nice to you and not mean, obviously that's respectful. So I'm just easing my way into this. Very respectful. So now people that turn up on you and yell, they say, shut the fuck up. Or damn, you stupid. Like, you ain't figure that shit out. Obviously, they're not respectful and they don't like that. And when I was younger, I think just from growing up in Brooklyn, people always did say, shut the fuck up. And like, no, you shut the fuck up. I think that was just like how we talk, like in junior high school, I get it. Obviously, it's not going to fly as an older adult. So you're more respectful. You're not talking to your mans or your girl or your manager or anybody like that. So people that still talk like that at this age, I will say cut them off. You can check them one time that, yo, you can't be talking to me like that. That's crazy. And move on. Or you give them and move on, or you give them a chance, or just cut them off cold turkey. And I would say cut them off cold turkey at this age, just due to the fact because now you know better, right? Like in high school and junior high school, even college, you're trying to fit in, you're trying to find yourself, and you probably didn't find yourself to your 30s. I would say cut that person off. Other thing I'll say, how do you know if somebody else respects you? What are your boundaries? So a lot of people have boundaries, don't have boundaries. Or I was talking to my neighbor today and I was like, oh, I see my neighbor with her husband. And I was like, man, I love her. That's my girl right there. She don't ask me nothing crazy. She don't do anything. She's just so nice. And like, and we get along really well. And he was like, that's how it should be. Like, you know, she knows where to go, where to step her place. I have another childhood friend. Like, she bought a lovely house with her husband. And I never asked her anything about pricing, about how long she took to find it, da, 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 because how about this? I don't need to know. That's her business. And I try to give people the space and the boundaries they need. So a lot of you may say, oh, okay, those are like kind of like guides of doing that. But I just feel like you got to know who you're dealing with to know their boundaries. Families, I don't ask about people's families. It's off limits to me unless you tell me about it. Also, asking about people's salaries and monies, that to me, that's off the limit. So I know now that time is changing and we're looking for equality, so a lot of people are going to exchange that information just due to the fact that they want to know more, they want to be up on it, they want the equality. But I'm still old school in that manner, and I don't do that. But overall, with boundaries, I'll say this. If somebody says, don't do that, it made me feel uncomfortable, that's their boundary. They just told you that. If somebody doesn't want to answer a question or say anything, I'm leaving it alone because I don't need to, you know, make anybody feel uncomfortable. And if you have, and if you want to see somebody squirm, you want to make somebody sweat, you have your sociopath. Well, I won't say that but I feel like you have an issue of power, control, and arrogance of just even wanting to know that about a person and forcing them that information on them. Another thing, I will say this. Now, how you carry yourself definitely helps. Like, if you're not into the BS, and it's not even about the old school stuff when people say, oh, you think you better than us because you're not hanging out with us. No, I'm not hanging out with you because you're not my cup of tea. I'm not hanging out with you because every time, even me, I'm guilty. I was always that Debbie Downer. This is happening. That's happening. Like, damn, girl, you don't got no good stories and stuff like that to tell me. So that could be it why somebody's not hanging out with you either. But enjoying somebody's company is definitely a plus. So I feel like how you carry yourselves help you earn the respect to be well-liked. But also, don't be fooled if you do something that somebody don't like that you're in their good graces the next day. I'm learning that too as an adult. Like, just if I did something vicious to a person, whatever it was, I didn't expect to be in their good graces anytime soon. Sometimes it's best to let people cool off and forget about it professionally. It's very hard to redeem yourself professionally. And I could talk about that in another podcast. Like, how do you redeem yourself professionally if you F up? It's pretty hard. That's hard to do. So that's why it's always good to be respectful to your peers and your managers and things like that to get them to like you initially. So if you do something that's weird and not like you, you have that padding and cushion. Now, so don't get it me wrong. I was going to say don't get it twisted, but don't get me wrong. You're going to a consultant arena. You can go to like a new team and the manager may not just like you. So I feel like, and sometimes you're not going to have a job that's quantitative where it's going to be focused on numbers, focused on data, where this is like, okay, this person met this target, blah, blah, blah. So you really, your qualitative skills have to really show, your soft skills have to really show. And it's about if they like you. They may just not like you. You may come in the job too pretty, too fly. Like, and how many of us, and be honest, didn't like the very pretty girl, the very fly girl, because you felt like you weren't that pretty. You felt like you weren't that fly. It was just your own insecurity. They may not like you because of that. Maybe they felt like you were smarter than them in the meeting and they hated you for it. Or maybe they put you on the spot in the meeting because that's just how they roll professionally. So then kind of left a bad taste in everybody else's mouth and things like that. The only thing I'm saying now, and I'll leave it for another day for a podcast, is that you'll have to probably change teams, change roles, and there's slight remediation you can do from that, and it's hard to get rid of an enemy at work. But overall, I feel like for this, like, how do you get people to like you is always to love yourself. So everybody, it sounds cliche. Damn, girl, what do you mean you got to love yourself to get people to like you, respect you? So I was at a happy hour a couple of years ago. So as a lot of people know, in the New York circuit, the day before a holiday is when they have like a happy hour that's like lasts till like midnight and later because it's no work the next day. And this girl looked like a model. She was like, you know, if you don't like yourself, nobody will ever respect you and da 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 da. And I was angry that she said it. I said, what the heck did she mean by that? Like, you know, I don't know what she meant. So I ruminated over it, stuck with me. I didn't like her. I didn't speak to her after that. What for? You know, like you were nasty about it. So that's another thing too, to get when people are nasty. If somebody's like blatantly nasty when they're telling you about yourself, they don't like you, they don't give a fuck. But if it stings, whatever they say, if it stings, that's the truth. So I worked on myself. I knew I was fly. I knew I could dress. I knew I do my hair, wear shoes, good shoes. and things like that. So I said, what's missing, you know? So I said, I did the work. And later on, I'll tell you what work that I did to make myself feel like a 10 out of 10 almost every day. And once I changed the trajectory on how I felt about myself, the world changed. So I know early on, I talked a little bit about I was always that person that always had a story. Always had a story that was like outrageous. I don't really have that many stories like that anymore. Everything is like old and past and things like that. And I met a friend recently, 2 years in. They were like, all the stuff you were telling me earlier was like, damn, girl, I thought it just happened. You're talking about something from 2009, 2010. And I was holding on to that. That negativity, that's one thing that I let go. I realized a lot of the situations that I was in wasn't even my fault. It was, again, to take it back to the beginning, I wasn't able to set an accurate boundary with that person or tell the person how I felt. Now, that's another way to get people to like you. If you set that boundary, that person respects that boundary, that person is your person. If that person does not, and they can want to continuously overstep it, they're not. So one of my best friends, we don't talk much anymore, but he taught me that. He taught me how to talk to people calmly, not the Brooklyn way for, you know, we've been friends over 10 years. He taught me boundaries. Like, I was doing something over and over to him, making this gay joke, whatever it was. Yeah, it was that. And it was really a joke, being immature. It took me time to get out of immaturity. And he says, you sound mad. When he told me about it, he said, you sound mad. But as friends, we talk about it to get over it. And yeah, I was embarrassed that I had to be checked, but I needed to be checked because, yo, this is my guy right here. This is my best friend. I got to listen to him and I want his friendship or whatever. And that helped me hone my communicative skills at work and in my personal life. So I think that, and then also in terms of like just improving my self-esteem. So I started dating a lot. So what does that have to do with work? Well, dating, you meet a lot of people. You learn a lot of people. I met guys with money, guys that were just getting on their feet and divorcees. And that boosted, like, definitely my confidence, my self-esteem, and things like that. Because, one, I got out the house. I felt like an Instagram model. I was getting dinners. I was getting brunches. But I didn't waste the guy's time. If I didn't like the guy after one date, I said, thank you for your time. And I wasn't trying to, like, be, like, a girl, like, on one of those sites that was like, oh, I just need to fill my belly because I don't have any money. Thank God I was able to sustain myself and I got to meet interesting people and I got to see how men hurt. And why was that important? Because I had the mentality, oh, what was me? Like, oh, I got hurt. I'm a woman. I got hurt. All men are da 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 da. But no, men get hurt too. And it helped me level set the playing field that not every man is going to hurt you. They don't come in with intentions to hurt you unless he's just a straight up like a bad person. So that was good to know as well. And then I started, like I mentioned too, like just seeing that a lot of situations I was in, I didn't bring upon myself. A lot of people I was with was jealous. So people don't like you succeeding quicker than them. So they pray for your downfall and it sounds stupid. Oh girl, nobody's out to get you up. This shut up. This is my podcast. But I'm telling you, people were so jealous like of like moves I was making and things like that. And I was doing it on my own. And I wasn't even making big moves. Like a big move at the time was buying a brand new Louis bag. Cheapest on the market. And the price of the bag is not like what it was 10 years ago. Buying a used car, brand new, not brand new to me, but it was a used car, 1999 car, that was moves to a lot of people. So I'm not talking about, oh, I'm like a Kardashian or anything like that. It was just little subtleties that I was doing for myself. Like I no longer, so let's talk about name brands. Like I no longer was wearing Guess jeans. I was wearing like True Religions and Sevens and things like that. So again, people get jealous over stupid, frivolous things. Now I know people are wearing a Mary jeans and stuff like that. Or whatever, what have you. But I felt like I was wrong, a lot of the wrong people. They made me feel bad for my little success and made me shrivel up like I didn't deserve it. No, you deserve a good life. And this is for anybody that's listening now. I want you to know that you deserve a good life. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to eat at a nice restaurant, 5-star restaurant. You deserve to do whatever you want. Heart desire to travel. If you don't want to travel, to hike to Mount Everest. Whatever you want. And I felt like once I started saying, I deserve good, I deserve to be here. I matter. And I was doing a bad job picking people. So that kind of like messed me up a little bit. But it's fine because now I'm good at reading people. not even a little, but a lot. So that helped me too. Like it was like hood 101. Helped me read people better at work. And now in my head, I could just help the person shut the fuck up and put myself on mute because I already know what they're about. And also your dating life can impact how you feel about yourself. And I was like, why am I trying to make a situation work when you're not trying to make a situation work? And that I had to learn that if somebody's not putting in effort, you just move on. And it's not a failure. Getting fired from a job is not a failure. Yeah, you're going to mess up in life and it's going to happen again. And jobs aren't guaranteed anymore. This is not like 1980s when I had a college professor said there was a plethora of jobs all over the place. And it's just competitive. That's just how it is. And you just got to make yourself stand out. It's okay to fail. I know it sounds like I'm saying it flippantly, like, oh, this is, oh, you know this, you know that. No, I've been in bad situations where with bad managers, bad people, even men that's going through divorce, they're the worst people to work for and things like that. It's totally okay. You cry about it, get over it in a month and give yourself a time limit or when you feel like getting over it because something better is happening. Your long duration of sadness is not going to last. And if you did lose your job, sorry to hear that. I know it's a pandemic right now, but you keep your hope up, you know, keep your hustle on, keep your prayers tight. I think one of the other things that also helped me realize who's for me and who's not for me, who did I talk about the most? I said that earlier too, but if I'm talking about you negatively and I don't have nothing nice to say about you, what the F I'm dealing with you for? For what? Now, a couple of weeks ago, my Instagram, I posted, damn, I spent the whole weekend not talking about anybody. I had nothing to talk about, and it's true. So I said, okay, my premise of a lot of conversation maybe was talking about people. So I tried to change that a lot. So I say, oh, my friend got married. My friend bought these bad shoes and I want to get them too and invest in their stock. So I try to like change how I spoke about people. And I should have been done that since I was younger, but we all talk about people. So don't sit here and say that nobody talks about anybody or anything like that. But I just felt like it helped me see that, wow, if I'm talking about you in a negative light, I don't like you either. And I read that in a book somewhere. I'm like, man, if I'm talking bad, actually it was Dear Prudence. This person, she was talking about how she hangs out with a bunch of transgender people, some mixed crowd, and the person that looks like a man, dresses like a woman, doesn't want to be called a she, wants to be called a he, but when he corrects people, he was so nasty and belligerent, so she just didn't want to deal with them. Cool. So the letter writer, the person, Dear Prudence, wrote back, says, obviously, you don't like the person. You don't want to be around the person. The person already showed you that they're negative. They're nasty. And so don't put that feeling away for yourself, I feel like. You don't like the person, and it's okay for you not to like your person. And even that may happen between you and your best friend. And I definitely had best friends where we kind of like went through that. Like, I didn't like them anymore, and I didn't know how to tell them that. And it went sour, and that's a topic for a different day, of course. But it's okay not to like the person that you're talking about, but just be real with it. And, you know, don't deal with that person. So I feel like that, hopefully these tidbits kind of help in terms of like, how do you know if somebody likes you? How to know if somebody doesn't like you? And it goes into your gut, your instinct, your feeling, your attitude. And is that when you leave that person, do you feel like you want to freaking cry? They beat you up so bad verbally, picking on your clothes, picking on your hair, picking on this. And yeah, I'm saying this because it's like, I know that's happened to me before, or even at work. Are you telling somebody, oh, you're missing a comma, oh, you're missing a semicolon? I'm like, really, that's what you're going to worry about? So I feel like always try to put yourself first. Love yourself. And like I said, it changed my whole world where I'm not even having these crazy stories or these weird encounters. And subconsciously, believe it or not, you create these experiences because it happened to you from childhood so viciously, so violently. If you're having like bad experiences at work, on your personal life, and subconsciously you expect it to happen over and over because that's all that you knew. And your defense mechanism hasn't been developed yet. And I was aware of that. I became aware of that. Like if I met bad male friends too, bad work conditions. And I tried to let go of it and just take everything as a new experience, a new good experience. But I'll say one thing I also did was help my relationship with God. I improved it as well. So some of you may be religious, may not be religious, but whoever you believe in, I felt like that helped me too and gave me the guidance I needed to just love on me a little bit more and figure out what I deserved much more and focus on that. My life isn't perfect. I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying that it just helped me figure out in life who likes me and who doesn't like me. So you probably were wondering my theme song, "He Wasn't Man Enough for Me." A lot of people that leave your life, they're not man or woman enough for you either. Have a good week.